About 4 summers ago, one of my oldest and dearest friends brought his 3 teenage kids out from Ohio on a Western vacation. He was never the firearms type, but he and his kids saw the billboards. The billboards proved irresistible, and one afternoon we went to a shooting range, and he, his kids, and my kids had the experience of shooting some very high-powered weapons. It was done very safely and probably just the once-in-a-lifetime experience they had hoped for. I thought of them when news broke of Monday's tragedy in White Hills, Arizona, where a 9-year-old girl accidentally shot an instructor at a shooting range there. She was firing an Uzi set on full automatic, and she lost control of the weapon. The story has gone all around the world, and it has left many wondering about the wisdom of handing a powerful weapon to a young, untrained child. But while the circumstances surrounding the death of instructor Charles Vacca are unique, the accident itself, sadly, is not. Children in the U.S. are 8 times more likely to be involved in an accidental shooting than children in other countries. Our country widely embraces the Second Amendment, and our region tolerates, if not celebrates, many aspects of gun culture. In these circumstances, how do we prevent future tragedies like the one that happened in Arizona? Joining us to discuss automatic weapons, firing ranges, and such is Bob Irwin. He is the owner of the gun store here in Las Vegas and the host of the show Fired Up, which is heard Thursdays on KDON, KDWN. Bob Irwin, welcome back to the show. Good to have you here.
Thank you very much.
By now, you've seen the video that shows the moments leading up to the tragic accident at the Burgers and Bullets range in Arizona. You've done accident reconstruction, shooting events and things of that sort. And you may not have the full picture, but based on what you have seen to this point, what you know to this point, what's your impression of what went wrong?
With suitable disclaimers that I don't know the guy that owns that range. He is a competitor of mine. And as you said, I've only seen the video. It appears the basic problem is probably that they just simply gave her too much gun. Uzis vibrate dramatically. The one she had was a smaller version of a standard Uzi, which hasn't made much media. It's not as common a gun, but it's smaller. It vibrates even more, and it's harder to control because the cyclic rate is a little bit faster. There are lots of things I should say up front that the gun could have malfunctioned in some manner, that or the ammunition was wrong and the gun ran and when she let go of the trigger, etc. Those are small possibilities. It appears that it was simply the error of giving her more than she could handle. Mm. But not knowing all the details, I hate to definitively throw the guy under the bus.
Sure, sure. But looking at the video as I have, I mean, my experience is minimal compared to many, many others. But the first thought that I had was when the instructor was leaning kind of forward, almost in, you know, out a little further out than the barrel itself was. My first thought was, that's not safe.
No,
even under the best of circumstances.
You know, from what we do, he was standing on the wrong side. She was shooting the gun right-handed and letting her try to control the gun. When we have small children, which we frequently let children shoot, we put the gun where the instructor is holding both hands, the girl standing in front of him, and we envelop the child and let her reach through and pull the trigger. And they're perfectly happy doing that. But we have control of the gun all the time. We're holding both ends, and we control everything.
So what is the policy at the gun store for children handling a larger or more powerful weapon like
well,
that?
Well, we look at the chosen gun versus the physical size and strength of the individual, which includes everybody's small stature. Women wanting to shoot a .50 Desert Eagle when they weigh 110 pounds, we discourage that because the gun comes back and hits them in the forehead. The children are the issue here. So we don't have a set rule. Some of these guys now have come up and said we don't let children under 16 or 14 or whatever age. It's really not that. It's the physical strength to be able to control the gun. So we will give them a smaller gun or as I said, envelop the child where they're not really holding the gun at all. Mm-hmm. And we actually have control of it. Looking at the video, this was a dramatic error on the part of the rangemaster, which, of course, he has paid for that. Mm. It's appalling to me that happened.
Have you ever allowed a child that young to fire a powerful weapon, machine gun or automatic weapon?
Yes, actually, day before yesterday, we had an Australian family in. The girl was going to turn 10 the next day. This was her bucket list. And of all things, she wanted to shoot an Uzi. And we did exactly what I've described. We put the gun on the counter. We enveloped her. I have rather husky range masters. They're all Iraq and whatever veterans. And she reached through and fired the gun. And oddly enough, when the customer left, there was a reporter that happened to walk in the door from Channel 8. And he interviewed the father and the mother. And they said, no, we know what happened in Arizona. We saw that. We came here. This was really wonderful. There's been recommended. Our daughter was perfectly safe. We love the way it was handled, etc. Aaron Drawhorn will be a national commentator one day because he got lucky to walk in on that at the right moment, you know, in his career.
Yeah.
But we do it different. There's no accounting.
So how often do you say no? And when you do, how do you convince a parent or child that another weapon with less power would be safer?
Oh, we just tell them it's our range. Mm-hmm. You know, this is welcome like any other business.
You've turned away some business.
We refuse service to anyone. Yeah. We do it every day with people that have beer on their breath and things like that. So it's not unusual for us to go, I'm sorry, but you're done for the day. Mm-hmm. Use a little verbal judo, tell them it's our insurance company that requires it, and we're mad at them too. We'd love to let you shoot, but we can't. So they yell at somebody else, and it's always worked out fine. Maybe once a year somebody screams at us and says, you got to let me shoot. I've only had four beers, you know, but that's never happened with children. When we do, we can always let the child shoot a single shot 22. And where they can control it, and we still envelop them, even though it's a one shot and nothing's going to happen with that. You have to understand that literally millions of customers have come into all these gun ranges over this time. And we had the one amateur incident in Connecticut in 2008 where the child was killed. This is the first time I've seen that happen. One of our workman's comp guys was in. We're rewriting one of our policies, and we have the lowest rate of anybody that he's got of 200 companies because we have so few accidents. But being in this business, we are just entirely safety oriented. Looking at what they're doing is way different from ours. They're shooting at dirt banks where you can get ricochets. We use granulated rubber that catches the bullet. You know, we have a ceiling that's got steel plate, so if they fire the gun upwards, it's not going anywhere. We have catch devices in the ceiling to keep that from happening. The panels in between the shooters have armor plates inside, so if the guy could turn the gun sideways, it won't hurt anybody but him if it happens to bounce off, but we use usually frangible ammunition that powders when it hits anything. So we do all those safety precautions to keep that from happening. That's based on doing this for 30 years and about everything that could go wrong. We've had a lot of near misses, and we learn from each one and change it. That's par for the course in any business.
Yeah. We're talking about the recent tragedy at the Burgers and Bullets firing range in Arizona. Bob Irwin is with us. He is the owner of the gun store here in Las Vegas. And we're wondering what you make of the events of this week at that range in Arizona, where an instructor was killed in an accident involving a 9-year-old child and an Uzi automatic weapon. What do you make of that? Should children be allowed to handle automatic weapons? Do you think it can be done safely, or do you think it simply should not be done? We'd like to know what you make of this. You can join our conversation at 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. You can also write to us through our website, knprnews.org, and we're on Twitter, at knprnews. I'm going to turn now to Doug McMurdo, who joins us. He is a reporter for the Kingman Daily Miner. Doug McMurdo, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you.
There obviously have been a few members of the public who have expressed outrage this week, just upon learning, among other things, that 9-year-olds are, in certain circumstances, allowed to fire an Uzi. Was that your reaction upon hearing the story?
Absolutely. I was shocked that was allowed to happen.
Yeah. Is that what you're hearing from members of the community, people in and around Kingston and Mojave County, and readers of your paper?
Absolutely. Mojave County is a very conservative county, very pro-Second Amendment. but I haven't met anybody yet that thought this was a good idea.
Has the incident led anyone to question his or her Second Amendment feelings, attitude toward the Second Amendment?
No. No, I think everything is focused on the fact that a 9-year-old was given a fully automatic Uzi.
Hmm. And David Hemingway is with us, too. He's director of the Harvard Injury Control Research Center. David Hemingway, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
You look at accidents caused by guns. Do you think that gun ranges like the one in White Hills, Arizona, can be an acceptable and safe outlet for sports-minded gun enthusiasts?
Oh, people can go to sports ranges and be safe. They do it in lots of countries. You just have to have really care about, make sure that the ranges are safe and follow all the safety rules.
Yeah. Now, you've heard Bob Irwin talking about the policies and practices at his outlet, the gun store. What's your take on the safety of these facilities generally?
Some are very safe, some aren't. We really don't, unfortunately, have good enough data to understand how safe they are, but many are very, very safe. One of the things which we've been looking at is suicide at gun ranges in gun stores and trying to figure out ways how to reduce that problem.
Mm-hmm. So what did you think when you first heard about this this accident on Monday?
Well, I gotten lots of emails from around the world. People, this is international news, and people are, just cannot believe the United States. They see this as another symptom and just a symbol of America's gun craziness, that we just can't figure out a way to live with our guns. A lot of countries have guns. We probably have more than most, but other countries do a much better job at not having as many gun homicides, gun suicides, gun accidents, gun robberies, gun intimidations, and so forth.
Our number is 702-258-3552, 702-258-3552, or knprnews.org. Robert in Las Vegas joins us now. Robert, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My comment isn't really about the shooting ranges, and I think actually those serve a very useful and valuable service, especially when they're run properly, like your gentleman who you have with you as a guest. My comment has to do with just sheer numbers, just the law of averages. In our country, the whole mania about owning guns is just excessive, and the tragedy we saw there is kind of pales in comparison, more and more adults and children are just going to be shot, because it's like if you take just the law of averages on, say, vehicle accidents, if there's 100,000 vehicles on the road and 1% of the people will die because of those vehicles, and then you double the number of vehicles on the road, well, of course you're going to double the number, just the law of averages, of people who will die. And it's the same with guns. And it's just run completely amok in this country. And it's terrifically discouraging, because we just look like nuts in the eyes of the world, and I know some people just don't care what the world thinks, but it is important, and we do have to do something, and it's just a tragedy that's just going to grow and grow and grow, and that's just my comment.
Okay.
I appreciate you taking my call.
Very good, Robert. Thanks very much for your call. 702-258-3552 is our number. David Hemingway, people from across the political belief spectrum seem to be pretty much unified in saying this young child should not have been allowed to shoot a fully automatic Uzi as she was. And yet a lot of people would say kids can be safely exposed to guns on the range and in the home. What does the research that you have gathered over the years show?
The research shows that in areas, some people are incredibly safe, but there's too many people who aren't. And when there's lots of guns and people, a lot of people don't follow the safety rules, you have lots of problems. You should realize, looking at 5 to 14-year-olds, that's K-8, in the United States compared to the other developed first world countries, that's 26 other countries, a child in the United States is 10 times more likely to be killed with a gun than a child, say, in France or England or Australia or Germany. Our gun homicide rate for these kids is 13 times higher. Our gun suicide rate by these kids is 8 times higher. Our unintentional firearm death rate is 11 times higher. We're just such an outlier. And it's partly because we have lots of guns, but it's really a lot to do with our rules and our laws and our social norms.
Now, again, looking at the studies that you have done over the years, is a gun range generally among the safest places in which to expose children to guns?
A gun range can be very, very safe. There's no question. And if you're going to learn to shoot, it's probably better to learn to shoot at the gun range than, you know, out in your backyard if you're not well-trained and have good supervision.
Yeah. Now, as others have noted, and you have too, there has been international reaction to this story. What do you think that is? Do you think is it playing into stereotypes? Is it just playing into foreign images of the United States as something of a lawless country?
I think we have this notion because people can see that our gun death rate is just so out of line with not just some countries, but every other developed countries. And they figured out a way to live with their guns. Some figured out a way to get rid of their guns, but some have lots of guns, and they figured out a way to live with their guns, but we haven't yet. And I think this is just, people just, you know, this story is like so off the wall that you would allow this young child to be playing with a fully automatic machine gun. It's that it just says, oh my goodness, this just indicates the craziness of the United States. That's just an incredible illustration.
So what is the best way to keep kids safe when it comes to guns, David Hemingway?
Well, for young kids, very young kids, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 is to keep them away from guns completely. The you know, pediatricians, the American Academy of Pediatrics, has looked at this issue, advises families, you know, get rid of your gun when you have a young child. And if you don't want to do that, really lock it up very, very safely. We've done studies of kids 5 to 14, and they go into the pediatrician. They separate the pediatrician. They separate the kids from the parents, and they ask questions, and they ask the parents, do you have a gun? If they say yes, has your kid played with a gun, handled the gun? And the parents, 70% of the parents say no. And then you ask the kids, and over a third of the boys say, our parents don't think we even know where the gun is, but we know where the Christmas presents are, we know where the gun is, and a third of the boys have already played with the gun.
Joel, go ahead, please.
There's a whole lot of evidence, particularly boys are just so attracted to guns that you have to be so careful. There's a whole lot of killings in the United States where boys find their dad's semi-automatic pistol and take out the magazine and think it's unloaded and kill each other. You kill your best friend. And in the United States, most medical examiners call that a homicide. So that's not even in terms of the data of gun accidents, that's called a homicide because the kid pulled the trigger intentionally. But from a public health standpoint, that's where I always try to look at it. Now, this is an accident just waiting to happen. It can be fixed.
Yeah. But now Bob Irwin, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the rest of the world looking at this. Is this a variation of what happens here stays here kind of writ large with the United States and the rest of the world? I mean, the story you told was about an Australian family. They came here.
We have a lot of foreign tourists, so we get that from all over the world. But the interesting things, I'm going back, there's a lot of data just went out here. The gun accident rate, I'm sure your phone guests will agree, the accident rate with guns has dropped dramatically over the last 10, 12 years since now we have safety. We teach, and everybody does, safety classes for children. We put the Eddie Eagle program in some schools, don't touch a gun, da-da-da-da-da, which all of the gun industry is doing that. We've been giving away free gun locks for 20 years in my store. And the industry has really reduced the accident rate dramatically. The data is being driven by gang problems, basically, in major cities. And I would ask the data collector there to take out what they consider child deaths when one gangbanger shoots the other one in Chicago or wherever, and count it as a dead child or an injured child, taking that data out, because some studies have done that, and the United States has one of the lowest injury rates in the entire world from gun act, you know, children being shot with guns. When gangbanger shoots another one, it's a death by gunfire of a child, where the shooter is a child also. When a policeman shoots a gangster or robber, that's another death by gunfire. when people kill themselves, and suicide is a problem, we don't have a suicide problem that can be corrected in our store. They do at the new bridge they just built over the dam. The thing should be closed. You know how many people have jumped off that thing already? It's a hazard for the mentally disturbed people to jump off of. But what is the amazing thing to me here is this is one rangemaster shot and killed very tragically. And this is my 10th or 12th interview in the last 3 days on Reuters, on AP, on you name it. And this is one obscure, extremely rare accident. I don't know anywhere a rangemaster in any organized range that are even poorly won where a rangemaster has been killed before this incident. But we're talking to the world press. How many kids died in swimming pools last week? How many gangsters shot each other in Chicago last week? Hillary Clinton isn't weighing in on how many gangsters are dead in Chicago. And they're young kids that aren't going to have lives, not finish school, et cetera, et cetera. We're taking one tiny event that is in the vastness of time. Unfortunately, I have to use the word insignificant, and the significant problems where we have real gun problems are not being addressed.
David Hemingway, have you ever, in your research, removed things like gang violence?
Sure.
What did you find?
Gangs cause a lot of problems in terms of homicides, but not the gun accidents. And you could eliminate, say, all the inner city problems, and we'd still have so many more gun accidents than other countries. Our gun suicide rate is way off the map. And so I really disagree with that notion that yes, we have one of our problems with guns is gang problems and inner city gang problems. But even eliminating that, we still have a serious gun homicide problem in the United States. And I also disagree with this notion about the Eddie Eagle program. The studies that have been done in the Eddie Eagle program indicate that that's not the way to that really is not a successful program and trying to reduce gun accidents. That kids aren't taught that way. You really need a much more behavioral approach rather than just learning a mantra.
Okay, but David Hemingway, what do you say to Bob Irwin's contention that this one incident, the first time something like this has happened, is being amplified way out of proportion?
Well, that's what news is. I mean, there's a school shooting, and you can argue it's one incident. And in the United States, on a typical day, you have almost 300 people shot every day in the United States, and 85 to 90 die. So yes, this is one incident, but it's a newsworthy incident. From a public health standpoint, it's not an important incident in terms of these 300 people, 290 people a day being shot. And we'd really want to focus on all these other things, which include gun suicide lots of homicide, intimate partner homicide, as well as gang violence, as well as mass shootings. There's lots of problems with guns in the United States.
We are talking about the aftermath of Monday's tragedy in White Hills, Arizona, where a 9-year-old girl who was firing an Uzi at a shooting range there lost control of the weapon, and ultimately a bullet hit and killed an instructor at the shooting range who was working with her at that time. Our guests are Bob Irwin, who is the owner of the gun store here in Las Vegas and the host of the show Fired Up on KDWN, David Hemingway, who is a researcher at Harvard, and Doug McMurdo, who is a reporter for the Kingman, Arizona Daily Miner. If you want to join our conversation, we are here at 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. And we're also online at knprnews.org. Doug McMurdo, do you see anything wrong with youth involvement in guns in general? All right, okay, I understand we've lost Doug McMurdo, so we're going to try to get him back in just a few moments. Bob Irwin, I wanted to ask you a little bit about something you'd mentioned earlier. A lot of the customers at the gun store are tourists, and they're tourists from outside the United States. The gun store also seems to market more to adults on vacation or participating in bachelorette parties, for instance, and does to families. Is that an accurate perception?
Yes, an amazing number of families come in. We are really dedicated to tourists, and our range is not frequented by local shooters simply because you can't it's really difficult to shoot your teach your grandson to shoot his 22 when there's a guy next to you with a M249 saw, you know, blasting away. There are lots of ranges in town that are better suited to the locals for the recreation.
Yeah. What percentage of your clientele would you say are families with kids who are shooting guns for the first time?
5 or 6%, I would guess. Mm-hmm. It's rare there's not a point where there isn't some family in one of our shooting lanes at any given time.
Okay, so it sounds like the story I had told at the beginning of this conversation is kind of an unusual thing.
We get a lot of families. We get, you know, they do bachelor parties and bachelorette parties and this, that, and the other thing. We do a lot of conventions for large companies that will stay open late and let them have the run of the place, basically, for their insurance group or whatever mm-hmm. it is. And shooting is commonly used as a recreational thing for companies like that during their convention, things like that.
Our number is 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. David in Las Vegas joins us now. David, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going?
Going fine, thank you. You're on.
Doing well.
Okay, go ahead. You're on the air, sir.
Okay. Well, basically, I'm a range master, and I have been for 14 years. And although I feel terrible for the guy that lost his life and his family and stuff, I feel that it was his own responsibility to make sure he was, you know, creating a safe environment, especially when children are around that have absolutely no experience with weapons. So, I mean, a lot of range masters and firearms instructors, they tend to get mass amounts of people coming onto the range, you know, to make money, and that's no time for complacency. And I honestly, as bad as it hurts, you know, it was his own fault.
Yeah.
You know?
David, as you were looking at this and hearing this story, what did you make of a 9-year-old girl firing an Uzi? I mean, did you look at that?
There's nothing wrong with a 9-year-old girl firing an Uzi as long as she's in a controlled environment.
Yeah.
I've been shot on the range due to an accident, but it was across the parking lot at night.
Hmm.
It was a negligent discharge. Somebody accidentally shot their gun and it shot me in the tibia in my leg. That's an accident. When you have a range master who's within arm's reach from somebody that's operating a weapon, that's negligence.
Hmm.
And it hurts me to say that, but maybe if we can educate everybody to stay more diligent, to stay there. I mean, guns kill. And there's nothing wrong with a 6-year-old shooting a gun. There's nothing wrong with children with guns. They have to be in a controlled environment.
But a controlled environment. And that was,
yes, sir.
It sounds like what you're saying is that's something you did not see evidence of with this particular incident.
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. I myself do subguns and Uzis and all those different types of machine guns, automatic. I teach with children at front. We have children that come out to the base and shoot once a year on the 4th of July. And we've never had that type of situation because we're so diligent and we're aware that guns kill. I personally just, you know, like I said, the guy, he got a little complacent. You don't give a girl a machine gun fully automatic and not stand right there with your arm ready for that gun to shoot. It took me 8-10 years before I could ever even take a good breath of air while people were shooting because I was so scared. You know, guns kill.
Hmm. All right, David, thank you very much for your call. Appreciate hearing from you. 702-258-3552 is our number. We'll turn next to Joel in Las Vegas. Joel, thanks much for calling and welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
While the last caller made a lot of sense in what he had to say, the problem is that, I mean, we've got 9-year-old kids who weigh 45, 50 pounds with a weapon that can kill multiple people in a heartbeat. I mean, if you'll pardon that really bad pun. Mm. Now this poor girl has to live with what happened for the rest of her life. We need restrictions. I'm not saying that kids shouldn't learn how to shoot, because sure, they should. But we don't let 9-year-old kids drive cars. When 9-year-old kids who are too short go to Disney World or Disneyland, they may not be able to get on a ride because they're physically not the right size. Yet there doesn't seem to be any restriction or any discussion by pro-gun people to restrict access to fully automatic weapons, is what we're talking about. Not a 22, not even a shotgun, but a fully auto weapon is a totally different animal.
All right, Joel, thank you very much for your call. 702-258-3552. Bob Irwin, do you want to speak to any of what Joel is saying?
Well, it is a different animal, but again, as I've reiterated, we don't let kids freely handle a gun. They think they are shooting the gun. And at Disneyland, they do have little cars you can drive around if you're a little person, and they let you drive around on a track because it's designed and safe for the little kid to drive. And we do have kids that drive that get in dad's car and, you know, run over their sister backing out of the driveway and things like that that happen all the time. Yeah. And nobody's interviewing me from Reuters because of that. You know?
Are there any advantages to allowing children to experience the handling of automatic weapons?
Yes. Automatic weapons, guns in general, we've discovered that when little kids are allowed to shoot guns, they then have respect for them. They appreciate the blast and the noise and the recoil, and they stay away from them more. It's the curiosity that killed the cat. One of the callers said, you know, they found all their Christmas presents, and they will find your gun. And that is entirely correct. The kids search everything in your house as soon as they're gone, you're gone, even though you tell them not to, which is why we have gun locks and safes and gun boxes that take a fingerprint to open and all of that kind of stuff to prevent unauthorized access. That can be controlled.
David Hemingway, to hear Bob Irwin say, yes, there can be advantages. Psychologically, is that the curiosity element that's sated when children
encounter?
I don't know.
We don't think we have good evidence that using guns more often makes it less likely that you will be hurt by a gun. One of the problems is people like thought that about alcohol. They said, oh, isn't it great in France? All these kids are drinking when they're young. And it turns out, of course, that France has the worst type of alcohol problem because of that. So it's certainly possible. I just wanted to mention that there was a similar fully automatic accident in Massachusetts a couple of years ago where the poor child shot himself in the head and died.
Yeah, it was in 2008, yes.
In 2008. All right. We're up against the clock, unfortunately, so this is something I hope we'll have a chance to talk about down the road as well. Thanks to our guest, Bob Irwin, is owner of the gun store here in Las Vegas and the host of Fired Up on KDWN. Doug McMurdo, who was with us earlier, is a reporter with the Kingman Daily Miner. And David Hemingway is director of the Harvard Injury Control Research Center. Thank you all very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.